Hello and welcome to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I'm your host, Lynn Holver, a digital nomad, world traveler, dreamer, and lover of life. Currently, I'm a social media marketer, a freelancer, and I'm totally obsessed with inspiring other women to dream bigger and live bolder. Each week, I'll be featuring women who have successfully created location-independent lifestyles that give them the freedom to live life on their own terms, and how you can do the same. My goal is to show you that your dreams are possible and how much opportunity you have to not only create an income online, but also to make a real difference. So, if you're ready to start living a life that excites you by learning from others who have already done it, then you're in the right place. Are you ready? Let's go. Hi guys, welcome back to Chasing the Freedom podcast. I am so excited today to sit down with a yachty sailor who is also an online entrepreneur. Her name is Ellen Rose. She is a 28-year-old Icelandic girl who originally studied interior design in London and graduated in 2013. She worked as a designer in Lisbon and Iceland before realizing that the 9-to-5 life was not for her. And after a few months of working in Europe, decided to quit her job and go sailing around the Madeira and Azores Islands. In her words, that trip allowed her to experience a sense of freedom that only people on the ocean can. So after her sailing trip, she made a commitment to herself to figure out how to work online to continue feeling that same sense of freedom. She started working from scratch, selling products on Amazon and eBay, literally knowing nothing and not having a lot of spare funds, but learning along the way by taking online courses and reading loads of books. She now averages $14,000 in monthly sales and also started a coaching program about a year ago to teach others how to do the same. So Ellen, I am so excited to have you on. Just reading that again, I'm like, wow, what an amazing story. So I can't wait to talk with you more and dive more into your journey.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love how you say yachty. Did you say yachty?
Did I? That's what you're called, right? Yachty?
Yeah, I would say yachty, but yeah.
Yachty. But the accent.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, I'll correct you. Actually, it's 14,000 in UK pounds. Dollars. But okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, thank you. It's 14,000 pounds. I guess I don't really know the conversion right now. Is the euro stronger than the dollar?
I don't know much about the dollar, to be honest, because I just trade in pounds. Okay. A little bit in euros as well.
I would love to know a little bit more about what your life was like before you started this. So I know you graduated 2013 and you were doing design a little bit. Maybe can you tell us a little bit more about your background and kind of how you switch gears into what you're doing now?
Yeah. So after I graduated, that was in 2013, then obviously I'd spent 3 years learning how to do design interiors and furniture and stuff. So I thought I knew all about that. And I went out and got myself a job and I got my first job in Lisbon. It was an amazing job. It was the best job I ever had in my life. And I also learned how to sail there. So I was pretty convinced after my first year of graduation that design was really the field I wanted to be in. I never had any doubts during that first year. But then sort of that term was over and I had to go and find a new job. So I went to Iceland and I got myself another job, which I didn't like so much. And even though I was getting significantly higher pay, because obviously it was a new location, is Iceland and I think the north of, you know, Scandinavia and just the northern hemisphere, just they kind of earn more. So it was the normal pay, but a significantly higher than what I was used to. So I thought I would be very inspired. I'm getting a lot more money and, you know, doing different jobs, but it's just, you know, I'm learning. It didn't really work out like that. I didn't like what I was doing. And I think no matter how much money you get paid for your work, if you don't actually like the work, you're not going to be happy. So you're just living paycheck from paycheck. And it was not inspiring after a few months. So I decided this wasn't for me and I quit that. And I went sailing So I went on the internet, basically, this is what I did, and found somebody who was looking for a crew. I had learned how to sail previously, so I knew the very, very basics. So I was confident to kind of, you know, get on a boat and just do some basic jobs. And so that's what I did. And I found somebody who was going to the Azores and Madeira in the Atlantic. And I was like, okay, you know, I've done this course and I can come and be your crew and blah, blah. And so that's sort of what I realized. I quit that job and I went sailing just to figure out basically what I wanted to do. So the next 3 months I was sailing in the Atlantic, and during that those three months I realized, okay, this is really something that I want to do. So if I'm going to be a sailing person, it will be really, really hard to have a job, because, you know, you can't just always be going on holiday and kind of say, okay, I'm now off work because I need to go and, you know, sail. So I realized I would have to have some sort of a job where I'm my own boss. And then I sort of figured out, okay, I could do e-commerce, I could be a consultant, but I haven't got any expertise to be a consultant at this point. So I thought, okay, I have to first master something, get really good at something, and then I can become, you know, a high-paying consultant. And then I'd studied just on my own. I was really broke at this time as well, because I had spent all my money on the sailing trip. I just read everything I could on the internet about e-commerce and about Amazon and how to sell on Amazon and eBay, Shopify. And then I decided, okay, I'll buy my first inventory, after having obviously put some thought into my brand and into my, you know, product range and stuff like that. And so that this whole process took a year to think about from scratch, basically what to do, what to sell, then getting the inventory in to the warehouses, starting to sell that, getting a few reviews. And then after I started selling, 6 months after that, I was not getting any results. But I just persevered and I continued to use what I learned to do better. So I realized, okay, the product that I have must not be good then, so I must find a new product. How can I find another product that I know will sell? So I just studied that, like what is, you know, in demand on the internet and how can I figure this out? And so just went ahead and kind of did that and just tried. And every time you buy some products, you are in a way not sure if it's going to work, no matter how much research you've done, I think. You're never going to be sure. So basically, that's how it started. And once I started seeing results, I realized, okay, this is so much better than having a job. Because during that first year, and then the 6 months after launching my product, not just seeing reviews, I was always thinking I should go back to work, or at least I should work part-time. But for a really long time, I didn't do that because I thought, okay, I'll try and make it through this painful period of, you know, not seeing results, but still not using my time to do anything else, up until a point where I thought, okay, I'm now really out of money. Like, I do have a job. Yeah. So I found a job where I could work as a PA, and I did that job for 3 months.
Okay.
So I had that little income, and that was like £800 a month. I was doing a part-time job as a PA. For somebody incredibly wealthy. But I learned a lot from him as well about sales, because he was like head of his division in his sales company. And like, he was so just, he was kind of a bad person. So it's not good to learn from a bad person. Mm-hmm. But I learned about a lot about, because all his sales force were just boys and girls, you know, that maybe did not complete, you know, university or college, maybe some of them just, you know, dropped out and they just want to find a job. And but they all worked their ways up. So I was observing them from the first day they came into the job. And, you know, at the end of those 3 months, some of them are driving a Porsche. And it was amazing. I thought, did you just achieve that in 3 months? Like, how is that possible? And but it's just, they were just selling products. And so I thought, okay, I've got to quit that PA job and start to sell my own product.
Oh, so my gosh.
It was just like, yeah, it was amazing. And yeah, So I realized, obviously, that this was possible, but I was also kind of realistic about it. I wasn't kind of thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be a millionaire in one year. Mm. But I made like, 10-year plan, 20-year plan. Mm-hmm. And so I think just throughout this, I kind of realized I don't want to work ever again. And I hope I don't ever have to work again. Even if my entire thing collapsed today, I would still have enough knowledge to build the same thing from scratch and would take much quicker.
Yeah.
And so I don't think I would have to work. But even if I would have to work again, it would not be for long. It would just merely be for the purposes of gathering funds together for whatever reason, if it came to it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so just to get the timeline right, you spent about a year getting like your initial idea and branding and all of that inventory. And then you spent 6 months selling with little to no results.
Yeah.
And then that's when you went to that PA job after that.
Yeah. So let's just say January 2016, I started with this idea. Okay, I have to sell on Amazon. What will I sell? What's my brand going to be? I spent 6 months basically getting samples from suppliers, defining my brand image, what's my Instagram, what I look like.
The important things.
Yeah, all those little things, whether they were important or not important, went through it all and just made a business plan. And then I did lots of business courses. So even before I started selling, I was doing lots of preparation for it. So this took 6 months, okay? Then I launched the product, and 6 months after that, there were no results whatsoever. And so, you know, the whole thing was a year. Mm-hmm. Then after that, okay, I was like, okay, I've been doing this and I've been selling for 6 months and there aren't any results. And I've spent a year learning about Amazon and business and e-commerce, and I was out of money. And so I had to go and find a job. And as you know, at this point, I thought, oh my God, this is such a low point in my life. Like, I happily go and do it. But I think you can't think like that, because you are doing it for the greater good, and you know you're not going to be in this job forever. Okay. I knew when I went into the interview, which went really great because they thought, you know, I had an amazing CV and I was just really good at selling myself. Mm. And they were like, okay, yeah, we just want to hire. They just hired me on the spot. And the day after, I showed up in some new shoes and a shirt, and I had to borrow the money for that because I didn't have the money.
Oh my gosh, wow.
And I just did this job, and obviously it was kind of exciting for the first, you know, few weeks, but then it was just got pretty horrible. But they didn't know about that, of course. I was like, I'll do this for 2 years. They wanted me to sign a contract, 2 years. And I was like, I won't sign anything, but, you know, I'll stay.
Yeah, I'll be here. Don't worry. No, I'm glad that you gave the timeline though, and like even the fact that you admitted that you did go back to work for a little bit just to keep kind of your vision alive, but still like even in the midst of all, like you didn't give up on like what you're doing, because you still saw like, okay, this is what's possible. Like, I know if I just like keep going and don't give up. I think that's just so important, because it's not an overnight thing at all. And I just, I love hearing when people explain their full story of like everything that they went through, because sometimes I feel like people just think it's like, oh, either a hit or a miss, like you get it or you don't, or there's like some type of secret or something, but it's really, nothing like that. And I feel like your story just kind of shows that what happens when you keep persevering. So
yeah. And I also think, because a lot of people, if you told people that were starting maybe on Amazon, if you told them, okay, it might take 1.5 year or 1 year for you to make this work, would you still do it? And they would be like, probably saying no, because that's too long. Yet they're willing to spend their entire life maybe in a job. And then, you know, it's just like, which do you want to do?
What do you want, right?
Yeah. And I remember like being in this job, and once I had been in the job for 2 months, I had gathered the funds, the money to buy my second product. And this was a significant time in my Amazon career, if I can say so. And so I thought, okay, I'm buying my second product. I'm investing like £2,000, or was it £3,000? But for me, this was so much money, because I just don't even understand how I could gather this money from this low paying job. And anyway, I had the money and I thought, okay, I'm going to order it. And always when I order my first inventory, it's the first time I'm seeing the product, I'll get it sent to my house because I want to quality control it before I send it to the warehouse. So on this important day in my life, I said to my employer, I will have to be at home on this day. I'm getting a delivery. I'm buying a new bed. And he was like, oh, you can't be at home. I'm sorry. I have a very important day and you need to be here. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I have to be at home. There's nobody at home.
Oh, my gosh.
You carry this bed. I just made up the story about this bed that I was ordering.
You need to be there for the bed.
Yeah. And he said, well, don't you have neighbors? And I was like, well, they're all retirement people. They're all like old people. I'm not going to ask some... Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah.
So not going to ask them to, you know, can you please carry my bed into the house because I can't be home. Yeah. It was ridiculous. And I thought, well, I'm going to leave anyway. And I'm probably sooner than I expect because, you know, what if I had to go to the doctors or what if I, you know, sometimes you need to be at home.
Right.
For whatever reason. Right.
Right.
And because he didn't like the idea. So I said, well, sorry. And he said something like, don't disappoint me, Ellen. I said, well, sorry. And I just stayed at home. And I worked on the internet for him. And then the truck arrived with my inventory. And I was like, went all mad. And I ran out to, you know, get all the boxes. And I saw this product. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool. But, yeah, it was hard, obviously, you know, juggling a job and an Amazon stuff. But you can do it. It's definitely doable if you're willing to just try it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the little things that.
Oh, yeah. So funny. Wow. Okay, so if someone's listening and they're like, what is she talking about when she says I sell products on Amazon? Someone has no idea what that even is. Can you kind of give like the play-by-play of what exactly that is?
When you want to sell your own products on Amazon, which anyone can do because Amazon is just a platform for sellers to sell their own products or sell other people's products. Mm-hmm. So you can find a manufacturer, for example, in China or locally to you in the country you live in. And you can have a certain product produced for you with your own branding. So that's what I was saying. It took me 6 months to figure out my branding and all of that. Then I was thinking, well, what's the logo going to look like? What's my brand name? You know, what's my domains and all that. Mm-hmm. And you find a logo or a business name and you put that on your product. So nobody in the world is selling this particular product with this particular brand name except for you. And I think this is so important because obviously lots of sellers will be selling similar products and some of them will do extremely well and some of them will do not so well, even though it's exactly the same product. It's just a different type of branding and different type of price often. And so this is how you sell your product under your own branding. And then you buy that, you buy an inventory of maybe 500 units, even less or even more, depends on what you kind of want to do. Mm-hmm. And you say to your manufacturer, okay, please put this logo on this product and ship this into this and this address, which will be the warehouse. So if I take an example, like a calculator, for example, because I can see I've got a calculator here. If you say, okay, I want to sell this calculator on Amazon or eBay, and I want it to be branded with my own branding, which is maybe bestcalculators.com. And then you know, you get a branding together and you tell them to print that on your product. And then you buy 500 of these and you need to get a good price. Then you ship that into the warehouses and obviously you have to pay shipping costs and things. There are lots of costs involved. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to invest quite heavily, depends what products you have, but sometimes not. So when I bought my first inventory, I spent about 200 British pounds. But at the time, I was really broke and to me, 200 pounds was like a massive amount.
Right.
So 200 pounds is $268.
Okay.
So it's not much, but I also didn't buy a lot. So I just bought a few, I think I bought maybe 100 units or something. of this product just to test it out. And when I was, you know, starting out, I did lots of mistakes because I didn't really know how to do this whole thing. There's so many things about Amazon that you kind of need to understand how it works, because a mistake can be costly when dealing with Amazon. And so I would just recommend, you know, try and get the things done correctly. And that's basically why also I have this masterclass, because I did lots of mistakes. I shipped my inventory the completely wrong way into the warehouses. I had some very dodgy barcodes as well. Mm-hmm. And so all these little details, they can be costly.
Yeah.
If you don't get them in the warehouses.
If you were to go back and do it from the beginning, like if someone is brand new, do you think you would recommend hiring a mentor or someone to help you now, or would you still go it alone again?
It depends. If I had money, I would, for sure. When I started out, I had no money, so I couldn't afford a mentor. I saw quite lots of them on the internet, but they were all offering mentorships whereby you buy the content or the material, but they're not going to coach you throughout. They're just going to sell you something.
They just want to sell you a course.
Yeah. And you just need to go and figure it out. And I think Amazon doesn't really work like that, because when, for example, when I coach my students, I do a handheld mentorship and I coach them every week. And I know what they've done last week, and I know what I'm expecting from them this week, because in my masterclass, there's just a step-by-step process, and you need to complete this step before we speak the following week. And that just gives me, you know, because they all have different products, they will all have different questions and criteria. So if you're to sell them some sort of content, that's not going to be relevant to everyone, because they'll be saying, well, my shipping costs are this and that, so what's my margin on this? And well, I don't have this problem because I'm not doing any external packaging. I'm just doing the raw product. And so you get so many different questions, and I don't think you can sell some sort of box content in a box, you know, to everyone that wants to sell. I think you need a coach, or it's a good idea to have a coach. So if I was starting out today and if I had money, I would definitely buy from somebody who would Skype with me, you know, every week and coach me or do some calls with me or whatever, how it was structured.
Yeah.
So as a result, because I do this weekly kind of with everybody, it's one-to-one, it's not a group call. Then I'm not able to take as many students on as I could if I was doing this kind of passive, as we were saying, just selling a course. But this is my choice to do it this way. I'd rather have a small group of people and just take them from zero to wherever they want to be, and teach them the right steps and how to do things correctly. And that's I think it's a good thing. And they really appreciate it. And I see how much they get out of the weekly sessions. They're just over, you know, they're just blown away with all the new information, as we all are when we hear about something completely new. We're just like,
I can't believe this is real. This exists.
So it's important.
Yeah. And it's probably, I was just going to say, I like how you contribute, like you're giving it back and paying it forward, like everything that you've done. And you really do care about the people that you work with. You're not just kind of, putting out a course there, even though that's not, you know, a bad way to make passive income. Like you do take the step to make sure people are getting results, which I think is so important, especially in the online coaching world. So,
yeah, I decided when I set up or created this masterclass that I was going to be this sort of coach, because I see so many of them just doing, you know, as you said, content, just buy this course for $900 and then I'll never see you again.
Right.
But then if you do that, you know, you need to have some contact with them. And it's in my interest that my students do well, because it says that I'm a good coach and that my content is good. My masterclass is better than somebody else's. And it reflects, you know, what I am essentially. And so it gives me confidence when they do well and they give me a good feedback or a review. And I can see that they're progressing every month, and it's powerful. And giving back is, obviously, you need to give back in a way that also makes you as a coach money as well, because it's your valuable time mm-hmm. and resources and efforts, and I've spent money acquiring the knowledge that I have. So it's fair to say that I'm reselling my knowledge, which isn't bad, which mm-hmm. is what every consultant does. Mm-hmm. This is the nature of that business. But in a way that you're also giving them quite a lot. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel that the money they're paying is worth it. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, yeah, it would just be horrible if they wouldn't like it.
So. And they're like, well, this is not worth, like, not valuable enough. Then you'd be like, okay, well, yeah, that's my yeah. whole purpose as a consulting coach. So I kind of want to switch gears a little bit and mm-hmm. just talk a little bit more about you, your lifestyle, and obviously the show is called Chasing the Freedom. Mm-hmm. So I've been asking this question to everyone that I'm interviewing, and I always think it's so cool to hear what people say because all the answers are so different. So first, what does freedom mean to you specifically? Mm-hmm. And then also, has your current lifestyle that you're living now changed the way that you view freedom as a whole? And you can feel free to be like creative with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. I think absolutely. Like, so for example, when I started, I thought, okay, freedom is just having lots of money mm-hmm. because freedom, if you have lots of money, you have choices, which is in a way correct. But it also, depends what you do, you know, every day, every hour of your life. You know, if you're constantly working in a job that you hate, then you don't have freedom. Right. So for me today, what I find freedom is just not working for somebody else. Like, I need to work for myself, because that is what I find is freedom, because that means I can work from home or I can work from anywhere else. If I want to be out in the cafe on a great day, I can do that. If I want to be sailing, I can do that. If I want to go to Iceland, I can do that and do work and do consulting. So that for me is freedom, to be able to wake up and not, you know, having to rush to the bus or the, you know, train station to get to work, to spend an hour first on the train or in the, you know, metro or whatever, then getting into a, you know, workplace and just probably hating that workplace, mm-hmm. Which is what I obviously had to do when I was working. So I, for example, like, I love the fact that when I wake up in the morning, I have all the hours of the day mm-hmm. for myself. I can completely structure everything. You know, if I choose to say, okay, I don't feel like doing anything today, I just want to go and sit in a park and read the book, or like, you know, this is
so good.
This is absolutely what I can do it without like feeling guilty or without feeling worried in a way, because I won't be thinking, oh, but I won't make any money if I don't do the work mm-hmm. or, oh, I don't deserve this until I have completed this, because on the weekends I should really be doing that nice thing. Mm-hmm. But I can, like, there are so many days when, like, for example, I think, okay, I don't actually want to do any work today. I'll always do my coaching. But I don't want to do anything else related to anything else. I just want to, you know, chill out and, like, sometimes just watch a film at 3 p.m. in the day. Yes. Or, like,
I love
even
that. I love that.
To the cinema with a friend at 4 p.m.
Yes. No, it's the little things. The little things that give me so much excitement. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, these little things, this is so much what I like. And sometimes I can't believe it. Like, I can't literally believe, because I, you know, I'll see everyone driving to work and, you know, and when I have to go out, you know, in the morning, let's just say I'm going to the doctor's or something, I will go on a bus, you know, for like 10 minutes or something. And I will see all these people that are carrying their briefcases and they're going to work, and they just, the expressions on their face are just awful because they hate this. Mm-hmm. They hate their job and they hate having to be in a stuffy, you know, crowded bus where everyone's coughing and, like, you know, children are screaming. And, you know, I have to do this every day. I would just, like, yeah, I would just not be able to do this kind of stuff.
Right. But, It's like once you're on the other side, you can't imagine going back, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you, when you are in the space of going into work every day, you get used to that as well. And you think right. there's nothing else for you.
Right.
This is just life. And this is what everyone does. This is normal. This is what my parents did. This is what all my friends do. And if you're surrounded by people that do this kind of thing all the time, then obviously you're going to think this is normal.
Right.
But once you turn, you know, to entrepreneurship and you decide, okay, I'm going to be an entrepreneur, then you get more keen to meet other entrepreneurs and you see how they live and, you know, you see how they go abroad and they, you know, spend time in these amazing Airbnb houses and they, you know, they spend money on the feeling, you know, comfortable and, you know, the leisure stuff they take pretty seriously because they can.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't settle for average stuff. Mm. And I think this is just a habit. This is just a mindset thing that lots of entrepreneurs and business people that are successful in their field, they, you know, they acquire this habit. And so I do this as well. So for example, when I go abroad, I'll pay myself like a director salary for my company and I'll make sure that I'm, you know, spending things, money on things that I want to spend.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take taxis instead of going on the buses just because I want to do it.
Yes.
And it's just a habit that you can get, you know, accustomed to. And it's really, really good to just, you know, have this sense of abundance and, you know, money is something that comes and goes
mm-hmm.
and you can make more money if you need to, and you're not short of money. And, you know, you can take an Uber in London instead of going on the bus and then do it. You know, don't think twice about the £15 that you're saving. It doesn't matter because you're not going to take this £15 and putting in your saving account and taking it out when you retire. You're just never going to see the difference.
Right.
And so it's just get used to a little bit of, you know, spending. I mean, this is what I like to do this, actually. We all like to spend our money.
Yeah.
But I save a lot as well. So I think saving is also a habit. And so I think everyone needs to, you know, save money for rainy days and stuff. And even if you have a successful Amazon business, you can wake up one day and things will have, you know, collapsed or whatever, or Amazon decided to, you know, ban you as a seller for whatever reason, or a competitor overnight just appeared and is taking all your sales. And so I never rest on my laurels thinking, oh, now I've completely made it and I'm so successful. And, you know, I never ever allow myself to get into that because I'm not, you know, I'm never going to feel comfortable, because every time you, you know, you make a goal and you achieve this goal, you just have another goal, you just have something else to do, and you make this income and then the next month you need to make more, because otherwise you think you're in the same, you're stuck and you're not moving forward, what's wrong?
Like, yeah,
it's the same, you have the same sort of worries sort of as somebody else doing something for lots less, maybe struggling for money. And it's kind of just, yeah, you think the grass is greener, you know, everywhere else. But it's just, I think that that's just what we are as human beings. We like to see progress.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me think of a question, like,
mm-hmm.
do you think from your perspective, like, do you ever think it will be enough? Like, okay, like, this is enough. I'm good type thing.
I can't see myself ever saying that. Like, not even when I'm 65 and I'm like stopped working or whatever, like I'll never come to the point and say, okay, I'm now retiring.
Yeah. Yes.
What's retirement? It's retiring from a 9-to-5 job and taking my pension out.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing it, so technically I could live like I'm living now, 65. I'll just probably have a much bigger business. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always so inspired by what I do that I could never say to myself, okay, now I'm going to stop because I'm settled, you know, down and I'm happy with what I've achieved.
Right.
But I don't know, maybe I'll just do that when I'm 65 and say, okay, I'm just done. I'm just going to take out my money and just, I don't know.
Yes.
But I don't think so. Like,
yeah.
Down for, because that's just, yeah, I always value progression somehow. Mm-hmm. And I could never say, okay, this is now good enough. There's always something you can do better, you can do more, you can use your time.
Right. No, I completely agree. I was curious to hear your thoughts on it, because I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's cool to hear those perspectives on that too. Okay, last question. If there was one thing that you wish other people would just get, what would it be? And this is also a creative question.
I think not enough people go and just write down in their journal or wherever just what they want to achieve in their entire lifetime. And I'm talking for the next month, and then the month after, and the month after, and the year after. By the time you're 30, what do you want to have achieved? By the time you're 40, you know, and just writing down these goals is very important, but also to make sure that you are actually trying to, you know, work on these goals. And I see a lot of people just have very vague goals, like, yeah, I just want to make £10,000 on Amazon. And I'm like, okay, what do you want to sell on Amazon? Like, well, I don't really know. So,
like there's okay, well,
but there's a plan, but still there's nothing to it. So, because you can obviously wish for a lot of things, you can wish to have £10,000, you know, dollars or whatever in your business, but you don't know how to do it. So it's just a wish if you're not actively working on it. And then I mean every day, like, you know, on the first day of the month, I'll write a little note to myself, just saying these are the things that I will do this month, and they're just little things, and you know, I'll make sure I have to tick them off. Sometimes I can't tick them off that month, or you know, move them to the next month. And so this is what shows me progression, because I know that I'll achieve this month, and then I'll dump something the next month, and so that's how one does move forward. And don't be afraid to dream really big. I struggle with this, like not being able to tell people what I actually want, and just want to keep it for myself. And I'm a very private person, actually, but I think it's so important to hear yourself say what you want to achieve. Just, I think it just goes another route into your brain somehow. Yeah. It's not so internal anymore. It's just, you know, it's there, and you've got to make sure, that you're doing it. So I would love, you know, for like, and I'm including my students in this, that they would just really, you know, write down things and know what they're working towards. So goal setting. And there's an entire field about goal setting that one can just read about, like what is goal setting? You know, it's not just writing something on a piece of paper. It's a special technique to actually make sure you achieve your goals, to break your goal into smaller goals, and you know, just do one thing every day and have good habits. And I know it sounds quite easy when you're saying it, and it is in fact quite easy, but you just have to do it. And then, yeah, don't feel disappointed when you don't achieve a goal. You just, you know, do it again. So just... But yeah, I think that's just so important.
Yeah. No, I think that's so good. And I think it really is all about the simple habits that you do day after day, because the small things are the ones that are going to add up to the big changes, I guess. Or like, yeah, that you do a bunch of small things every day and it looks like maybe you're not progressing really fast or as much as you would like, but then a couple months go by or a year goes by and you see how much you've accomplished just by doing those small things consistently. So, okay. So you've shared so much with us today. So I'm so glad that you came on and talked about all of the lessons that you've learned and what you do and how you help people and everything. So if someone is listening to this and they're like, yes, this girl is doing what I want to do, or I want to learn from her, I want to have her help me, or maybe they just want more resources for themselves, where can they get a hold of you, or where would you point them to?
I've got a web page, which is called salopreneur.com. It's basically just sale and O and then preneur.com.
And I'll put that in the show notes too.
Yeah. And via that page, you can have, you know, you can find my email and my Facebook group. I've got a Facebook group. If you want to be where my students and other people are, where I share lots of tips and information about Amazon and e-commerce. And then obviously, yeah, the social media thing, you can find it. We'll put it in the show notes, because it'll be so hard to spell it all out. But basically, it's Sailorpreneur. It's my branding.
So catchy. All right. Well, thank you so much again for coming on and sharing all of your knowledge with us. And I think people will really get a lot out of it, and hopefully more belief in themselves that anything is possible and that they can do it. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure.
All right, well, that's a wrap for today. As always, thank you guys so much for listening. And please let me know if you gained anything from this episode that you're walking away with, any mindset shifts, any practical tips or knowledge that you learned from Ellen. I think one of my favorite parts of this episode and of hearing her story was just how she is living proof that you can make anything happen for yourself as long as you don't give up and as long as you keep going and just believe in yourself and don't quit. I think that's really what it boils down to, and I love how she is, like I said, living proof of that. So stay tuned for more exciting guests, and as always, I will talk to you in a week. All right, peace out.